Track 34, Part 2.
He really thought he must be dreaming, for this sunrise time was the hour for dreams. Then, when he knew he wasn't, he decided it must be a stunt. This was to be a scene in a film. There were cameramen down there, a whole film unit, and all the correct safety precautions had been taken. Probably the girl wasn't even a real girl, but a dummy. He opened the window and looked down. The parking lots, paved courtyards, grass spaces between the buildings, all were deserted. On the balcony rail, one of the dummy's hands moved, clutching its anchorage more tightly, more desperately. He had to believe then what was obviously happening, unbelievable only because melodrama, though a frequent constituent of real life, always is. The girl was trying to kill herself. She had lost her nerve and now was trying to stay alive. All these thoughts and conclusions of his occupied about 30 seconds. Then he acted. He picked up the phone and dialed the emergency number for the police. The arrival of the police cars and the ultimate rescue of the girl became the focus of gossip and speculation for the tenants of the two buildings. Someone found out that it was he who had alerted the police, and he became an unwilling hero. He was a modest, quiet young man, and disliking this limelight, was relieved when the talk began to die away, when the novelty of it wore off, and he was able to enter and leave his apartment without being pointed at as a kind of Saint George and sometimes even congratulated. About 2 weeks after that morning of melodrama, he was getting ready to go to the theater, just putting on his overcoat, when the doorbell rang. He didn't recognize the girl who stood outside. He had never seen her face. She said,
"I'm Lydia Simpson. You saved my life. I've come to thank you."